Okay, so Parshas Vayigash. So the first one is Eitaris HaMincha, who B'derech Klal is, you know, a little bit Kabbalistic, but a lot of Oymek. He was a Talmud Rashba. It says V'shem Yema Adam Mali Letzora Zois Lechase Nafshem Rosalim Hase. So a person will ask himself, okay, I mitzvah Solom Hav is wonderful, but what's the problem of indulging? Es anig venim in oil mazeh kol mashuachal, I'll indulge, ulekesha omos yachzik ol avi yisoydeh, and when I'll die, you know, everything will be buried. Yoshev ha'ofa la'aretz kishahoyah, v'ruach toshev al yisoydeh, nefesh ha'vamis yisoydeh shay yisoydeh, v'nefesh ha'sichlis demkar ha'seichel. So he says, listen, whatever bad indulging does, so the goof goes back to the earth, that takes it back. The shama goes to Shemayim, it's olam haba, it's pure. So, you know, everything's okay. And so mela veiris is something that a person gets punished for and so on. But when we're talking about just indulging, where's the problem? So he says like this, ze yefsha, ki nefesh ha-sichlis yefsha shetachsel yisoyda bilti shleimus. The nefesh cannot go back if it's a chaser. In other words, if there's something chaser in the nefesh itself doesn't go back to Olam Haba. Ki al ze horkav beguf. In other words, the nefesh is embodied in the guf and it's part of it. So, it's not the pshat, it's an easy separation. The goof is the goof, and the neshama is the neshama. And what do I care what the goof is like? The neshama is going to its own world. That's not true. Any chisaron in one is a chisaron in the other. So, if a person is too indulgent in his goof, his neshama is missing something. Besides that the goof has the certain element of tzar in the goof, even though it doesn't make any sense and it's not something that would say we can be public, so he says two parts. One is there's a api kabbalah, there is some tzar goof, however you understand it. And then there's an element of the neshama itself is lacking if it's too much, if the guf is chaser. And this is, he's going to explain in a minute, has to do with arvus. V'chei nema b'inyina arvus hazeh shezacharnu roya yeroya ke'orev zah. In Romans, the shei roya suasnav shezacharnu guf. In other words, arvus is a type of interaction which allows two separate entities to become one. And therefore, it's something which, when you have a guf and a nefesh, they are tied together through the mechanism of arvus. I once heard from Futnes, although I think it's not a big Kiddush, the word arev to become mixed together, the word arev, meloshen, arev for somebody else, those are all part of the same thing. It's a way of tying two items together. That's where he's coming off the pasuk, where he says, "Avdecha orav asanarim avi." In other words, I tied my fate together with it, and this is what's become of it as well. Now he says, "The zeh shesim ubaad nachruya chavleo shenishtabel lenachruya shiataiva." So basically, I have tied myself to the oilum of taiva through arvus. Maxi basrei orav leish lekam sheker ve'eloheim havla oilum shem sheker davashem kayama. Bim orav laodam ze alechem ve'yiznak lechem adbirim ve'yimas boy. If a person went after this and he let go of ruchnias, so the point is, the guf and the nefesh tie each other together in the same fate. In other words, if the person's guf is lacking because the person indulged, so his nefesh goes with it. And one is not going to, it doesn't, they don't separate very clean. They're not supposed to mentally separate clean. They're supposed to be embedded one in each other. And the male one is affected by the other. The he says over here before that there's the tsar of the guf that we don't understand quite. There's a Rabbein Asadi guy. I'm pretty sure it's in one of the parshas. I don't remember where I put it. Rabbein Asadi guy speaks about the tsar of the nefesh of the guf. In other words, when the guf disintegrates, it says there's kibbut akeva. So when we start going to the Gevaldik of Pshat, he says the guf doesn't feel anything. It's dead. That's not the tsar. He said, imagine, I'll give the mashal, but it's what he's saying. Let's give a mashal. Imagine a person he lived in a home for many years, and he said 30 years in a home, and it burns down to the ground. He doesn't lose any money, nobody's hurt, and Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. But there's a tremendous, you know, sad, this is where the kids grew up, this is where I made simplicity, this is that. Imagine a person stays in a motel, in a hotel, and a week after he's there, it burns down. What are his feelings? Baruch Hashem, I wasn't there, that's that. If a person is attached to something, then a person has tremendous time and is removed. Masha Ein Kein, if a person, you know, doesn't care about something, then if a person has his own car and something happens to it, it's not going to If you're renting a car, so you rented a car, so they'll replace it. The tsar that of the chibut akev of the guf is how much do you have a sense of attachment to it. So a person whose entire self is the guf, and it's a very tough, it is very tough because it's very hard for us to picture ourselves without the guf. I remember, it's a silly thing, but it's when, and towards the end of the Lubavitcher of his life, there was a very, very revved up Mashiach campaign, and there were girls walking around Brooklyn signing up people that the Rebbe is Mashiach, whatever it is. So I heard an interview with a girl when they asked her if she thinks the Rebbe is Mashiach. So she said, I don't know if he's Mashiach, but I'm sure Mashiach looks exactly like the Rebbe. To me, that was worse because then you've reduced it. The Rebbe looks handsome, Mashiach looks handsome, so that's exactly what he's going to look like. Kind of, in other words, it boiled down to the tzura, chitzonis, without saying, and Mashiach is measured by his, you know, koima, not by his physical appearance. A person whose sense of self is identified with his guf, then it's a tremendous trauma if he loses his guf. Then who am I? There is no me without my guf. For a person that the guf was always just a tool, a yada richta of the neshama, so beseder, so now there's some other yada richta. I don't need a yada richta now. Okay, let's see the next piece. The next piece is a Barbanel, and he speaks over here about Hashkacha. Now, this is the discussion of the Yosef and his brothers about the, you know, Yosef told them, don't worry, it's all a Kadosh Baruch Hu's design. So the Barmel says, the Barmel speaks over here about Mikra versus Hashkacha. The Omnam Koach Tainasez of Mosfeilam Amar Merlevar. I'd like to explain. Yosef is reassuring his brothers and so on. What's he saying exactly? She'ein Safi. There are things that we attribute or are attributable to Mikra. Things that a person did not have in mind and yet they came, we call them mikra. Kimoy, shaholach bishuk, levakish ayavoy, umotza mitzi badera. He was walking to visit somebody, and hey, he finds something. So we call that mikra. Mikra means without any premeditation. It's an act that was done or happened to me where, I'm sorry, I was not the one that planned it. Something that we can associate with a certain cause. And Rosh Yuchasalakev is dummy. So if there's a clear reason why something happened, a person was running very quickly on slippery ice and he fell, I don't say I have to fall. I say, you know, I was careless and I fell. So anything which I can find a cause for, I don't say it's chance. Kadvar my mikra and built him a bulk of his saying. Things that are mikra are not limited to any special cause. And therefore, it's impossible to predict mikra because there's nothing, it's something which has cause and effect. I can say, oh, if you put this here, this is going to happen. Okay. Omnami yadua gam kein. Shebagos tachas golu bedovim advar. In golu bechuse vinyanai. A golu kefi ha'am. Who close madam akal noisai. Yishayev. It's a philosophy, it's a dovu nifal behaskel, or the carry of his dami. When something happens that has a tremendously positive hashpah, so there we tend to associate it with some sort of kavana. Things that happen to mikra, the level of effect that they have. So if I want to ask myself, is something a mikra, or is something with some kavana, if it happens to accomplish a great amount, I said to myself, you know, something's going on over here. The lozei nicho kolei sifli ba'avayis ki bechreach himotzi ba'avaya pol mechuvim osati ha'itzum kal zeh oifin ba'zeh oifin me'shar yivorm she'yivorm nasa ke'itas po'l sing v'shin ba'oifin knows. That's why they understand people to be created, because they see how well a mouth works and so on. So he says like this, so two things. When I see a person who has such exquisite complexity to create all the systems together, work as a person, two things I figure out from that. One is the one who made it is intelligent. He knows he can preset things to work a certain way. And he set it for a tachlis. In other words, you don't make something. If somebody makes something with intelligent design, there's intelligent purpose for it. If I find that a certain action on their part, this is what Yosef was telling them, if such amount of good came out from it, that it wasn't just a mikra, and it was something that there was a yad that's mechavim. It's interesting. I mean, a person could argue with that. In other words, the Barbanel's argument is a good argument. If you have an extremely complex item that's made and brings tremendous parallels, that's Bechreach intelligent design. But let's say something, a big thunderstorm comes and there's a lot of water to go around, or there are natural phenomena that do a lot of good. I don't know if that's mukhra, but Akopanim, he's explaining what Yosef said. This is not right to say it about a big nation, a big group of people, which is always Ashkachanat Mikra. Ki tomed yachshe vanjeh b'mikra, sechusu v'siva mitas shekhebe b'etzim. Lo yimona me yoysel d'achemes v'ashkocho v'mikra. So he says, anything that happens big to a nation of colleagues is Ashkachanat Mikra. He says, you could have cases where the person himself did something which is mikra, but it still came from Ashkocha. Who, let's see, gives him a mashal, kilotema, she yishlach adam es b'noi l'chay ve'y liknes v'sham peiris. If you send a person to buy peiris, v'tziva l'hashach v'an avdina echa chalzov, and he tells somebody to throw a gold coin in front of this boy, in front of his son. So here you have something. I'm walking because my father sent me to buy something for him, and I find a coin. So here we have a case that depending which perspective you're coming from, there's going to be mikra from one side and ashkar from the other side. I want to talk a little bit more about this. The Maharal says this also many times. He speaks about Dvarim Gedolim Anat B'Mikra, Divrei Melachim Anat B'Mikra, and so on. So what does he mean? That there are things B'Mikra? What's the other side? The answer is yes, but Mikra and Ashkocha, in other words, it becomes an absurd shaila. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu stand and kind of push the button, or he tells the Malach to push the button? It's really, really understanding what happens in Shemayim is absurd. It doesn't make any. I mean, it's nothing we have shaychus to. What we can have shaychus to is things that are meant to be seen by us as direct messages or not. So if a person finds his black sweater instead of his gray sweater, so he doesn't have to sit and think about what the Hashgacha was. It is appropriate for me to be tofes ordinary things as mikra. And it makes no difference that Hashem, did Hashem tell the Malach to switch the gray sweater for the black sweater for me or not? It's absurd, that question. But the real issue is, do I need to sit down and make a hizbeinus? Why did I end up with a gray sweater instead of a black sweater this morning? So if a person is a very, very, very big person and he feels that everything he does is synchronized with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then yes, there's a reason, there's a message HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells on me. If the person is a normal person and his real Kesher HaKadosh Baruch Hu is minimal, then that's nonsense. Then the person is wasting time. To think about it, it's going to get no place. And the only things that we do the Her Hashgacha from is when we see big things that work their way through and something's happening. From the big level, and big in Yanam, we need to understand Hashgacha and see it. Another inyanu, we can take it as regular life. It could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood and gave a special tzivu to make this happen. That's not how I am a Kabbalist. It's not my frame of reference. It's honestly not my frame of reference. So b'meila, the only elements that are very big elements are kosher elements. There we have the understanding of Ashkocha. V'cheinu says, "Pamim rabbis inyan osh mikreya." So there are times when these actions mitzideinu are mikra. But omnam mitzir for Hashem yizbara, he mushkochim u mukhuvanim be'etzim. But when you mitzarev it, when you look at Hakadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, they're bekavona. Behem lahem oizulosim atzaras chavoynish. Bezer shama akosum yashem etzadei gove koinu v'darkei chofetz. That's a lema. She is savvy by Hashem sheyocho ish bechefzer kach. So I can see an action that I did. I don't, there's no particular reason why this effect happened, but I can understand it as a spirit of my Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he says, there are many, many instances, depending on each level, what the combination of the chiyur is and al bechiyur, mikra, and hashgacha. So lemaisa, a person needs to see Yad Hashem in bigger things. A person may be on a madrega where he sees Yad Hashem in small things. That's totally on the person and the event and so on. So hashgacha needs to be meaningful. From talk where it's all Yad Hashem, it doesn't mean anything. So what's the point of it if you don't really feel it? If I honestly don't feel that something as big as X or Y or Z has to do with hashgacha, so pretending is not going to make it better. You're not more from by pretending certain things are hashgacha and they're not. And he says, take a look at this pasuk. It's over here, Yosef tells him, you know, so Yosef is telling him, do you see what kind of grand plan happened over here? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made this happen and so on and so forth. I want to add another nekuda here. This type of issue touches someone on the issue of Yediyah Mechila, obviously. And the guidelines that it gives us are very appropriate also. Whether or not we say Yediyah Mechila really is telling the setting and the perception that we have. In other words, what's the world I'm living in? So the day-to-day life, my world is the world of Bechira. My world is a world of, if I did it, it's going to happen. If I caused it, it's going to come out from what I did. So the world of Bechira, which means also Mikra, so things that happen day in, day out, those are mikra. In the world of Yediyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelel everything and nothing moves about him. That's a type of havana and tfisa that's not shayach be on a normal oifen. It's a person doesn't live that way, can't live that way, and so on. And over there, he lives with the sense of Bechira. I'm the one who knows, does, and so on. When a big event comes, and that's why the Torah is madgish when you have big events, nisim, but events like this, with an incredible amount of hashgacha went into finding somebody who is going to provide the Pious Soul in such a way. So it's the event itself that sort of leads you on to understanding, that it's hashgacha. So it's right to say hashgacha only when you see it. If you don't see it, then to say it, you can say, I mean, my name is Shlema, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of my world, and so on, and it's the koicha, the cultic, to run everything, it's mashkir, everything. But on a practical level, I don't know what that means. I'm supposed to treat things that come before me as things that I need to deal with, and whatever Hashem deals with, Hashem deals with. That's the point over here. Okay, and he says, and there's nothing wrong that there'll be a mikra mitzad the Adam, and there'll be hashgacha mitzad the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's you know, we both have two different perspectives on it. That's it. Okay, I don't want to stop. The next piece is a big piece. It's a very, very chashuv piece. It deals with what is Shechina exactly. I don't want to start. It should take some time over here. Introducing the whole concept of Kavod Nivra and so on. And with the Bez Hashem, I will see it.